Hallelujah. Psalm 29 verse 9. Looking at when the Spirit gets to moving. In the B part it says, in his temple doth everyone speak of glory. Or his glory. In his temple, everyone says glory. And we said, the temple is the house of God. That's the Father's house. This is a prophecy. By saying everyone, this is a prophecy about the body of Christ today. In John's Gospel, chapter 2, when Jesus got into the physical temple built by Solomon, and he said to them, why have you turned my Father's house to a house of merchandise? And he, you know, whipped all the goods out. Then he said to them in verse 19, destroy this temple. After 3 days, I'll raise it again. They didn't understand what he was saying till he rose from the dead. Then they remembered his saying. And then I showed you in the first service, they believed the scriptures, which means that when the scriptures in the Old Testament talks about the temple, what should be in your mind is the body of Christ. Christ in his resurrection. So they believed the scriptures of the prophets, they believed the prophecies. So when you read the temple, you either can see the temple in a figure of speech, or see the temple as a physical building. And so we also now built on that and said, Jesus in Matthew 16:17 says, thou art Peter, and he said, so blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. He says, I say unto you, Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. I will say, the rock there is the Old Testament description of the resurrection of Christ. Upon this resurrection I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Verse 19, whatsoever things you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever things you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. 2 chapters after, in Matthew 18. So we said that the church refers to what is called out of. Israel is called the church because they were called out of Egypt. So the Exodus describes the church. Whoever came out of the Exodus, with the Exodus, who came out of Egypt is called the church. So the calling out of darkness, from darkness into light, is the church. Also, oftentimes they will congregate together, and that was also called the assembly. So the assembly had two definitions. The call from Egypt towards Canaan, and also the call to gather together. So the call to gather together is meant to reflect the Exodus. It's meant to reflect the deliverance. We put it like this. So the physical assembly of believers is meant to reflect the salvation of the saints. It's meant to reflect the uniqueness of the church from the world. It's meant to reflect our oneness with one another. So Jesus uses the word assembly or the word ecclesia in the two shades. In Matthew 16, he calls those who are saved the church. Then in Matthew 18:15, he said, if you have a brother who trespasses against you, go to him alone and tell him his wrong. If he admits his wrong and he repents, you have gained yourself a brother. In 16, he says, if that brother now doesn't refuse to hear you, go with two or three, for out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, not two or more, two or three witnesses, let every word be established. He said, if he refuses to hear them, that is the two and the three, the brethren, he says, then you tell it to the church. Now, the church in Matthew 18, verse 17, will be the assembly, the physical assembly of the Jews, which he now speaks of the body of Christ. If he neglects, if he refuses to hear the church, then he says, treat him like a sinner and a publican. So, Jesus uses the word church in the two shades, the same way the Old Testament does. Those who are called out from Egypt, the assembly, the gathering out of Egypt is also called the assembly. So when you hear the temple of God, it has the two connotations. One, the temple of God, again, is the house of God, where God lives individually in us as believers. If you are in the church of God, you are the temple of God. And I said this in the first service. What is the temple of God, or who is the temple of God, where the Spirit of God lives, where the Spirit of God dwells? Does anyone know where the Spirit of God lives? Where? You point somewhere? I thought you pointed to your neighbor. Where does the Spirit of God live? In every human being? Where? It lives in you. So who is the house of God in this place now? You are. Very fine. So that is individually, because we are called out of darkness into light. We are the temple of God. In 1 Corinthians 3 and 16, he says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God?" And he tells you why you are the temple of God. He said, "Because the Spirit of God dwells in you." That's the meaning. Because the Spirit of God dwells in you. At salvation, the Spirit of God dwells in you. At salvation, you didn't receive a feeling. You didn't just receive the message. As you believe the message, you receive the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. "So those that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." Verse 9. "If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any has not the Spirit of Christ, is none of his. If Christ be in you, then the body is dead to sin, the Spirit lies to righteousness." Verse 11. "If the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, but by the Spirit that dwells in you. Say your debtors, brethren, therefore your debtors, not to live after the flesh, for if you live after you will die, but if you through the Spirit of God, you shall live. Verse many that are led by the Spirit of God," verse 14, "are the sons of God." Verse 15, "You have not received the Spirit of body again to fear, but the Spirit of adoption, hereby you cry, Abba Father. We cry, Abba Father, for the Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we are the children of God, and the children of heirs, the heirs of God, and joint heirs," verse 17, "together with Jesus Christ." Can I have an amen there? So because you believe the gospel, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God is not a spirit of bondage again to fear. The Spirit of adoption. The Spirit that witnesses that you are God's son. Hallelujah. That you are God's child. Hallelujah. That you are God's own. Hallelujah. That's the proof that you are God's son. Not a feeling. Not music. Not lyrics. Because you are born of God. Jesus made that promise prophetically in John 14:16. "I'll pray the Father and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he's in number 17. For you know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you." Hallelujah. So because of that, you are that temple, alright, in Psalm 29 verse 9. "In his temple, that everyone." So individually we are God's temple, and collectively, because we are individually God's temple, that's what makes our assembly God's temple. Does that make sense to you? Huh? Come on, does that make sense to you? So, now look at the vital part of the house of God. What makes the house of God is not the building. That's clear enough. What makes the house of God? Because when Jesus said, "Destroy this temple," they were in the physical temple, but he was the house of God. What makes the house of God is not the building. What makes the house of God is not even the people. Because you can go to a place and everybody is wearing beret. And, oh, that's the women now. The men have skin coats. And then they're all dressed in the light. And then they are all singing, "On the last day, on the last day, only two believers will be right." Ah, these are believers though. And then they carry their Bible like this. And he said, they are in the house of God. You are being presumptuous. Or somebody is behind the pulpit. And he's saying, "Repent or you will perish." That doesn't make it the house of God. That's drama. Anybody can, if you have done drama before, you know, I remember when I was in the drama team, we had people who acted dramas with us to minister who were not even saved. You can have people, I've seen Muslims act Christians in drama, television programs. Haven't seen it before? Seen it before. I almost mentioned someone's name. I've seen Muslims act pastors. So anyone can put up a show. So what makes it the house of God, what makes this the house of God, is the Spirit of God. So, our conduct in the house of God must be by the Spirit of God. What's the difference between us coming together and here right now, or having a town meeting? You know, you can have different meetings. I have different kind of meetings that I attend in a day. I remember I told someone, I said, I'm going for a meeting. He said, oh. He said, may the Lord give you utterance. I said, no. It's a business meeting. He said, may He give you utterance still. I said, ah. No, in a business meeting, you have to have, hallelujah. It's a business meeting. So, there's a difference between a class meeting and a church service. What is the difference between a meeting elsewhere and a church meeting? The Holy Ghost. That unseen being in the natural who is seen by us. That's the critical distinguishing factor of Christian meetings. The Holy Ghost. Like I said last week, the Holy Ghost, the body of Christ or the church of Christ, is orchestrated by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. So, the Holy Ghost, so we say the local church is where the written word is given first place. As we do in Saints Community Church. And then we allow for the leading and demonstrations of the Spirit. That's the local church. The written word is given first place. Christ is glorified in that. And then we give room for the demonstrations and the leading of the Spirit. That's the local church. Now, so that means the church factor really is the Spirit factor. I'm not prepared for church in the way I dress. It's good to dress well. But I'm not prepared for church because I dressed well or because I came in. I'm prepared for church by the Holy Ghost. Because it's what the critical factor is the Holy Ghost. We follow God's purpose and plans in every service to the degree that we are led by the Spirit of God. To the degree that we flow with the Spirit of God. That's the degree that we follow God's purpose and plans in the church, in a ministry, in an assembly, in a meeting. Okay, so now we've said a couple of things in the first service. In the first service we looked at the utterance gifts. We said that Jesus said, my house, the Father's house, shall be called, Mark 11:17, a house of prayer of all nations. He said, but you have made it a den of thieves. And we said the word den of thieves means that you have robbed the meeting of its purpose. Anytime you turn the church service into a business seminar, you have robbed the church of its purpose. Every time that what's going on is not showing the unity of the Spirit, the unity of the faith, and that oneness we have with Christ, you have robbed the church of His use. So we said the church is a place where prayer is made. Praise is made. The Word of God is taught, and the unity of the faith is celebrated. That's the church service. It says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Mark 11:17, which is prayer and praise. Prayer and praise. So in His house, we praise Him. In His house, we don't come to have fun. In His house, we don't come to entertain ourselves. Someone say, I didn't enjoy the worship. Should you enjoy worship? I didn't enjoy the word. Should you enjoy the word? You should learn the word. I didn't enjoy the prayer. You don't enjoy the prayer. You pray. See, this is why we differ from, let's just have a meeting. What do you think people want? What do you think they want? Ah, you know, in these days now, people like, just put some, let's spice up the service. With what? Let's just spice it up. Don't let us be too rigid. We are too rigid. Too koi, 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 spirico, koko. So if we are not doing spirico, koko, we do canal, koko, koko. You know, say no. Let's be spirit. Let's just wrap up. Say no. You know, let's just look at what will make people happy. That's no longer the church. That is now your church. So we ask, what is the leading of the Spirit? What does the written word teach? And what is the leading of the Spirit? So the Spirit factor is important in the church services. So we are the temple of God by His Spirit. Look at Acts 2. We've been there earlier. Now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Acts 2. Look at the next verse. Then suddenly there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now look at that statement. Look at verse 2 closely. Closely. Let's read it slowly. Slowly, let's go. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, Now, let me ask you. If you were not one of the 120, and you were seated around, would you have heard that sound? No. So that sound is a revelation. Let me see if you understand that. Okay. So that revelation, was it to the 12 apostles or everybody there? Oh, good. So there came a sound from heaven, that's the unseen realm, as of a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Then it what? Filled. Let me ask you. Is the house it filled? Is it the building or the people? Exactly. Because the truth is, the house was Solomon's porch. It was big enough to have different portions, and people were around. So the house is referring to there is not the building, but the gathering. It filled the house where they were seated. Now look at verse 3. Verse 3 together. And there appeared unto some, everyone, cloven tongues, and sat upon. So two things are going on now. Verse 2, they heard. Verse 3, they saw. Praise the Lord. You know, this is a distinctive factor of the church. We ought to stay more in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. We ought to stay more in the Holy Ghost. Remember one time in China, not just one, I believe they still do it. Somebody said something that was interesting. He said in China, those who make the greatest impact in the churches because of government persecution, they stay anonymous. He said, but in America, those who make the greatest impact want to be known. That's a figure of speech if you understand what he's saying. So back then in China, they used to, you know, invade their meetings and arrest them. Arrest the church. Disturb the meetings. So they discovered that every time they were meeting, people would, agencies, security agencies would come in and, you know, disturb their meetings. So they told themselves, because they were meeting in secret locations, they now said, there must be a mole in our midst. There's someone who is attending these meetings who is a mole. Alright, they said, how do we know who this mole is? He said, the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So our next meeting days, we are not going to announce it. Listen to the Holy Ghost. Wherever He tells you, that will be the meeting day. And that, both the time and the venue. And they now found out just one person missed the day and the venue. What a test. How about trying it here? We actually should. We should. But you know, we're used to comedy. We're used to praise worship. That is worshiping no other person but ourselves. We're used to clapping happy. And doing kangaroo hops, like Brother Hagin will say. We're used to dancing shocky. We're used to being lazy in prayer. We think prayer is just, let me just pray briefly and get out of there. We're used to coming late for service. We're used to those kind of things. So when we get to spiritual realities, we fall back. We fall back. Just one person missed that meeting. That was the move. I told a missionary that I saw from China, I said, if you do that in Nigeria, even the pastor may not be there. Because many of the times he's thinking about the offering and his next project. But you know, that's the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Because obviously on the day of Pentecost, everyone was sensitive. Everyone was. How about a church like that? That we know things by the Holy Ghost. Supernatural. Glory to God. We ought to have couples, married couples, friends, who say, have you been thinking about this? Yeah, I've been. You've been praying. Yeah. So the Lord's been saying something to our spirits. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sensitive too. Maybe we should pray a bit more. Look, that's good friendship. We just have been sensing this. Yeah. You got that too? I got it too. Yeah. Yes. Are you clear about what's there? Well, I'm trying to get it. Say, well, it's true. Let's give it some time. That's good friendship. Not exchanging designers. Ah, where did you get this suit from? It says covet the best gifts, not the best shoes. Shandai. Amen. Or your hairdo. Who made this hair for you? There's one woman, it's under the bridge. Ah, she's an expert. Hallelujah. Now what's the Holy Ghost say? We didn't come together to make air. We didn't come together to make money. We do that better in the world. We came together to follow God's plans and purpose and to flow with the Spirit of God. Can I have an amen? Amen. Glory to God. They were all in one place. Look at 2 Kings 6. A servant of Elisha. He saw the armies surround them. He said, Master, they are surrounded us. And Elisha said, those that are with us are more than they that are with them. He said, Lord, in verse 16, 17, 18, 19. He said, open his eyes that he may see. Then he prayed. We'll look at that shortly. That means we can actually pray out revelation. There are times you can just say, Lord, I want to find out what's behind this. There was a brother like that. He was with me. He began to act funny. Very funny. He just began to act very strangely. Very extremely strange. Very, very funny. And you know, many of us don't know that believers can yield to demons. A believer can listen to demons. And consistently. And sometimes they may not even know that's what they are doing. I've seen ministers, I've seen people who will function under the grace of God in 1 minute and switch the next minute. I know someone like that. He will flow with the Holy Ghost so strong, and then the next minute he will yield to something else. I wasn't told I knew the person. You know? So when that brother began to do that, I just said, Lord, what's going on? This brother is so fervent. How come he's acting like this? So I started praying. And I started praying. I saw where he went to. He obviously went to a white garment church. Now, I don't have anything against white garment churches. There are white garment churches who are white garment because they like white. Okay? And some of them are born again. And there are non-white garment churches that are not born again. Alright, so I don't have a problem with white garment churches. But I'm just saying, it was a white garment church where they were burning incense. I saw it, you know, initially I saw it in a dream. As I woke up and I began to pray, I saw it again. So I saw where he went, I saw who took him there, and so on and so forth. Obviously, there was a lady who he liked, or loved, wanted to parole. And she was a member of that ministry, and so somehow he got involved. And then he contacted some very, very strange demons. Okay? So, I now went to visit him in his house, and then he began to get angry. There was no reason, just got angry. So I told him, okay. He said, no, nobody can run my life for me. No. People should know Jesus by themselves. You know, I didn't say anything, it was just defensive. So I said, you know, can you get me soft drink? He said, what do you want? He said, get me Pepsi. So he left. As he left, I said, you evil spirit, don't come back with him. Alright? Stay out the door. When I'm gone, you can come back. Because there's no way I can stop an evil spirit from someone who yields to it. Even God can stop it. So he came in, he just was calm. I took my drink in calmness. Nobody broke bottles. I left him and he continued behaving like that. Years later, when I told him the story, I said, he didn't know what was going on. I said, I knew what was going on. Now he's settled, he's back in the ministry, he's doing fine. What I'm talking about is 23 years ago or something. You know? So, you know, sometimes you pray. See, he prayed and his eyes were open. Sometimes you just pray. And you pray. You pray and say, Lord, yes, I just want to know what's going on. I want to know what's going on. Just want to find out what's going on. Sometimes you just pray, Lord, I just, what do you have to tell us, Lord? And then he will show you things. He'll show you definite things. Definite things. Oftentimes, if I want to know things about people, I just pray. I pray. I know what to do. I pray. No, I do. But I've learned over the years that you don't always say what you know. I used to just publicly tell people things, you know, but I've grown out of that. The word of knowledge should be ministered with discretion. A lot of discretion. A lot of discretion. A whole lot of discretion. You don't embarrass people, you know, and give out their details to the world. No, you don't do that. No, you don't do that. No, you don't do that. You don't do that. You are very discreet. You know? Sometimes I have a word of knowledge and I say, Lord, what do you want this person to really do? He'll tell me. So rather than tell you what the word of knowledge is, I'll tell you what the word of wisdom is. You know, sometimes that's just some wisdom. Oh, I said that for someone, I believe. Praise God. So bless someone. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he said, pray. He prayed for his servant, that's Elisha, and his eyes were open. And he saw. And he saw. There are times like that, a minister can lay hands on you, and your eyes can actually open to see things. That also can happen. Your eyes can open to see things. Praise the Lord. Let me mention this. I'm still going to talk about it next week, but let me mention this. There's something about the gifts of revelation. And I just mentioned this, you know. Now, if you observe in the two instances, in fact, more than that, Elijah was one of such prophets in the Old Covenant who was pronounced, you know, with the gift of revelation. You know. But you know, somehow, he didn't know there were 700 prophets that hadn't bowed. So, there are times that the prophet doesn't mean he knows everything all the time. Elisha too, obviously, the way Gehazi, in chapter 5, wanted to scope him, will mean that, you know, he was so close to Elisha, he knew, he didn't always know everything. Because if he thought he always knew everything, You won't even go after Naaman at all. There will be no temptation. But obviously, there are times that he will have asked him, where are you? I'm at Ikorodu Road, and you are already in Elisha. And he said, okay, when you come home, I said, so the man of God, he must have done all that for a while. But one day, now one day. And you know, let me tell you something important. And then he now said, oh, your master has gone to, he said, no. Did I not warn you? I'm going to get to that. Did I not warn you? Is it the time for gifts and offering? My heart went with you. Wow. My heart went with you. And it became a leper. Praise the Lord. So the incense is like that. Why do you think Ananias and Sapphira will come and tempt Peter and the apostles? Because they must have seen them as human. And so they said, let's just scope them as usual. But somehow that was the wrong day. Praise God. You never know when it's the wrong day. Are you following what I'm saying here? Never know when it's the wrong day. So he said, Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes and he saw. So the church actually is a house of revelation. When we come together like this, we're a house of revelation. Look at Acts 9. Acts 9. Acts 9. You read from verse 10 to 15 and 16. Two significant things come up on there. Ananias, a certain disciple. So I say a certain disciple. He wasn't one of the 12. No, he wasn't. Praise God. So he wasn't one of the 12. He was just, I didn't say what, he's a learning person. He's learning. And then he saw Jesus. Now, the way he recognized and responded to Jesus in that vision shows that he was taught. He wasn't a stranger. He saw. Glory to God. He saw Jesus. And then Jesus asked him to go to the house of one Saul of Tarsus. The sea is called Straight. He said, for he prayeth and he sees in a vision that you will come and lay your hands on him that receive his sight. Acts 9. In verse 12. So, here he is. Notice something. He sees, he has a revelation about someone else's revelation. So, that means the Lord showed him what the Lord showed him. The Lord showed him what he showed him. So that there could be revelation where I know what the Lord told you. I know what the Lord told you. Then sometimes, you know, I've seen some very weird things in services. So I began to change how I used to minister that way. Because sometimes it could be embarrassing. I once preached somewhere. And then the associate pastor was into juju. And oftentimes I know how those things work. I know when they work. So here I was in the service, and I just saw him. I saw where he went. I saw what he did. So I called him aside. I said, Ross, you know, if it were earlier days, I'll have said it publicly. That would have been too embarrassing. Till today, I have not told the pastor. It's over 20 years. Over 21, over 22 years. I just said to him, I said, go home now. Go and bring that thing. He said, what? I described it. Says in this part of your locker, not the first compartment or the second one. You know where you put it. This morning you checked it. Says, I said, calm down. Just go. Don't run away. If you run away, I'll follow you. So he brought it. You know? And he was known in that place for seeing visions. But he was using, you know, very odd things. The pastor till today didn't know what I told the guy. And I just told him. I said, look, why did you have to do all of that? You know? But now, you know, if I see stuff like that, like I used to, I'll just minister it that way. Earlier on, I'll just say, hey, assistant pastor, come here. Everybody will hear it. Everybody will hear it. And that will be the end of his ministry and Christian life. Hallelujah. So he recognized it. He saw it. He saw it clear and clear. Sometimes I do minister like that. You know, sometimes I have multiple visions. Multiple visions, sometimes 3, 4, 5, 6 within 10 minutes. You know. I could just say, well. You know. But you know, the way we minister with revelation depends on us. God gives us revelation so we can edify others. The essence, because a word of knowledge is a wonder. You know, we have signs and wonders. It's a wonder. Because it will actually make you wonder. Praise the Lord. That's the way I usually will minister. Praise God. Amen. First time I met Pastor Funke, I called her name by word of knowledge. Never saw her before. Never knew who she was. Said, so and so person just entered this meeting. And then she was the one. And that was her name. That was, yeah. Believers meeting, is that it? Believers meeting. All right. You know, you could minister like that. The essence was to minister to the person. Now, I probably won't do that. I'll just say, call that sister. Then privately, I'll say, this is your name. Praise the Lord. But then I just say, hey. You know, it's actually best to use it to minister to people. It's not a show off. It's not a show off. Sometimes you see things. I'm talking outside this meeting now. And all you will do is to call the person. How are you doing? What about this? I hope you are fine. Now, see, when someone you know flows with the Holy Ghost, just calls you and asks you a question, he has seen something. He knows something. Oftentimes, we play it down because probably we are very familiar with the person. You are probably looking like a Gehazi. Or Gehazi. Just immediately know that God is telling you something. You know? Praise the Lord. Hope I'm blessing someone with that. Yeah. Think about it. Praise God. Think about it. So, how did I get here now? What was it? Yeah. So, Ananias saw what Paul saw. And, you know, he said, go. And Jesus showed him what Paul was doing. He showed him what Paul was doing. Then he argued, he said, Lord, this man has been a troubler of the body of Christ. Maybe you don't know, because you are the head, we are the body. You know, and he says, go your way. Verse 15 and 16. For he is a chosen vessel unto me, and I will show him how he will suffer great things. You'll bear my name for kings and before the people. I will show him how he must suffer great things for my name's sake. Look at that. He showed him what will happen to Paul. He didn't show it to an apostle. He showed it to a member of the membership class. He showed him. There was a minister who came to me recently. He asked for counsel. Ah, sir. He said this and this. I said, you remember what I told you in 1997? He said, yes, sir. I said so, so, and so to you. Did you eat to it? He said, no. He came to my office just late last year. I said, did you eat to it? He said, no. I said, I'll keep reminding you for the next 30 years, and you'll keep struggling this way. Because the Lord told me what to tell you. At your birthday, I told you again, 4 years after, I told you at your birthday. I said, look, the Lord said this to you, and you know it in your heart. You know it in your heart. There are things like that. That he will just tell you what he told others. So he now told me, he said, sir, how do I go about it? And all that. I said, no. You don't watch out for the environment to obey. You obey first.
Trying to see how convenient it is shows you are in disobedience. You obey first. Obey first. You obey first. Hallelujah. You obey first. So God can tell you what he told others. Oftentimes, it's to, like I said in the first service, I don't matter two or three witnesses, is to confirm. Sometimes, it's to caution such people. Caution them. To just remind them, this is what the Lord told you. Because people forget easily. See, the world we are in can make us forget things easily. Easily. I was ministering somewhere on Friday, and I just thought, I said, let me just give them some words of knowledge. And I was looking at someone like this, and I mentioned a case, and he was looking at me like this. I said, no, the person is here. And I said, oh, it's me. And I was looking at him like this. He had gotten used to the condition. He was no longer thinking it was a sickness. I was looking at him like this. He said, oh, it's me. I didn't say this. I said, I was looking at him, and I was saying, I was looking at me. Some folks can just be like that. You know? So God can bring things to your remembrance by revelation gifts. I'm giving you the essence of revelation gifts. It's to call your attention to something. And it will be a fact or a date or an instance. It will call your attention. It will call your attention. And there are things probably he will show you that he won't tell anybody. Remember, years ago, God showed me something some years back, you know, about 25 years. So when I got into a relationship to marry, I felt it was the right thing to tell the person I wanted to marry. I just felt, you know, it's good. So we sat down and we were talking. And I began to tell her, in 1994, the Lord, you know, and she kept saying, what are you talking about? I can't hear you, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I said, you can't hear me. She said, I can't hear you at all. I said, is it the noise? Obviously, somehow, God brought a sign, like a cloud, that didn't make her hear what I was saying. Somehow, I said, okay, maybe in that. So, the other day, I was meeting some pastors of our ministry then, Faith Family Network. So, I started to tell them the vision again. There were about 9 people in that meeting. If you ask them what I told them, no, even remembers the meeting. They say, which meeting, sir? I said, that meeting in so-and-so person's house. I said, that I told you, they said, can't remember. You said this. The Lord said, the next time you do it, I won't stop anybody from hearing it, and you'll have disobeyed me. From that day, why I'm saying it again today is because I'm remembering why I should not say it. I say it so that I will remember. I hope your ears aren't blocked. Do you understand? So God just had a way of saying, don't say this to anybody. Now, there was someone he told me to tell, just one person. He said, say it to this person. And he showed me, he said, tell this person. And when I told the person just told me what to do. And when I asked him a few years ago, he said, he can't remember too. Some things are that supernatural. They're just supernatural. So there are things he will tell you to tell. There are things he will tell you not to tell. Not because they are evil things. Just like the birth of Jesus. Just like the issue of the anointing of David. There are things he just wants you to conceal, you know, for a while. I mean, there was something Brother Higgin would say. The Lord told his mom, and he knew. Years back. Brother Higgin didn't say what it was. He always got to the point where he stopped. He didn't tell us the details until 2 years before he passed on. And by the time he said it, that vision had already been accomplished. He didn't have to prove it. We had seen it. There are certain things like that. It's just for you to be guided. It was when we had seen. Now, when he told us what it was, I said, that has happened already now. But imagine if he told us, if I was there, I wasn't there anyway, in 1950, where he said it. Or when he was born, was actually what happened. When he was born, 1917. Was when the Lord told the mom. If that was where we knew, that's it. And then he was now struggling to start a ministry. He now missed God a couple of times. Then he practically almost died. You know, I said, you see your life. After he said, God told him. He said, God told him. So sometimes it's better to just keep those things and walk by faith. Are you following what I'm saying? Who's following this? Are you learning something here? Praise God. So revelation needs a whole lot of discretion. But you see, when you know your pastors, and you know they are men of the Holy Ghost, and they just tell you something that, I just think, I would just be laughing. I would joke. I say, it's just good though, you know, and all that, in discretion. When I see people's response, I start praying for them, so that they will see what I said. You know, because oftentimes, the reason why I do that is to make people not depend on me to know what God wants them to do. Because if I keep ministering that way, you will get used to, you'll just be asking me, sir, which car should I take out today? Which one is the will of God? Is it my Mercedes-Benz? You know, it can happen, you know. But so oftentimes, revelation demands a lot of discretion. A lot of discretion. That's why I submit to the fact that when you have the word of knowledge, sometimes it's just good to know what is the instruction. The instruction sometimes takes care of the facts without you having to disclose them. The instruction sometimes, you know, we are going to teach in the Spirit by the Spirit again. I think it's ripe. Hallelujah. I just feel like teaching that series all over again. Glory to God. You know, we are here till Jesus comes. We'll just be teaching God's word. Hallelujah. You know, we just look at that subject again. In the Spirit and by the Spirit. You know, there's a lot of discretion when it comes to those facts. We'll see one in a moment. So Ananias, you know, he saw. But you know, there's something I also perceive. In that Acts 9, if Ananias had said, he prayed, for he sees you lay hands on him, receive his sight, he'll have just gone there. Do you know why you are blind? It's the nonsense you did to the body of Christ. You know, you can mismanage that fact. But good, he said what he said. Saying he's a chosen vessel. As he entered, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, even the Lord Jesus that appeared unto you. You know, he just gave himself brain and ministered properly. That's why sometimes it's good. When you have a vision, say, Lord, you know, what's this about? What's this about? What really do you have on your heart? What is this about? It's not good to be presumptuous and assume or add your own facts. So, revelation is a birthright or the birthright of the church. See, revelation is the birthright of the body of Christ. I am in the body of Christ. This is the house of revelation. Hallelujah. The house of revelation. Yes, it is. A house of revelation. Glory to God. There was someone who lost the dad just recently, 2 years ago, and wept so well. I said, why? I said, he didn't get born again. I said, no, he's saved. The person probably thought I was trying to console him. I said, no, he's saved. So how did you know? I said, the night you called me and you told me, I saw him in glory. As I picked the phone and you told me, I said, you observed I was quiet. He said, you were. He said, but you really took, I just felt you were trying to, I said, no, I saw him in glory. The person did not really believe totally, you know, until found the evidence himself that the father was born again. See, God wants to tell us many things. Hallelujah. Imagine, somebody that would have kept them unhappy, just said, no, I said he's born again. He said, that's interesting. When he now found out, he was shocked. Hallelujah. God can show you such things. Sometimes to just comfort the hearts of people. To comfort their hearts. Amen. Amen. To just comfort their hearts. You know, sometimes he won't tell you to tell anybody. Praise God. You know, so revelation happens when God wants a fact to be used to edify someone. Oftentimes, the reason for it is to get the person's attention. That's when it comes to the word of knowledge. It gets the person's attention. Sometimes, it is to prevent an action. You know, Joseph had made up his mind. In Matthew 1. He had made up his mind. And a very discreet guy at that. I mean, I always give kudos to him. He had made up his mind in Matthew 1, verse 19, that he wouldn't want to disgrace Mary. Mary just told him, Honey, I'm pregnant. And the man knows that they never had sexual relations. You know, he didn't say, but why now? He just said, And she now said, Holy Ghost. you know, it's very likely he read Isaiah 9:7, Isaiah 7:14. But he never thought it would happen to him. Okay, now said, look, let me just put that away. He was planning it. He didn't tell his soul. And God sent an angel to him. Said no. And confirmed his word. And from that point, he also took the child, went to Egypt, came back with his child. So a word of knowledge can come to clarify facts for us so that we don't take the wrong decisions. Sometimes we're just not clear. So we'll take the wrong decisions. Amen. It's just, you know, he could still have said he's not marrying her. So, that's not a direction. It is just an information so that you can have a definite direction. You know, so, it can come in that form. So it prevents an action. You know, in this meeting, we're going to have such words of knowledge. Yeah, I'm sure. It will prevent some actions. It will also inspire others. Go ahead and do this. You know. God will give us such insight. Yeah, I'm believing God. These meetings and then the camp meetings and after, we're going to have such insights. We'll get things right. Amen. We'll get things right. Whatever we don't know will be revealed to us. Whatever is away from our human understanding, God by His Spirit will unveil them to us. See, we will press into the things of the Spirit. We won't rely on logic. Logic is not so reliable. You know, we trust the Spirit of God. He will show us things. You know, He will prevent that accident. He will prevent that incident. He will stop it from happening. You know why? Because you will know about it and you won't get there. You know, He will. He will unveil those things to you. There are plans of men. There are plans of men that He will tell you. He will tell you. Yes, He will. He will tell you. He will tell you. I believe that for a pastor, you should know things supernaturally. At least 75%. Get it right. As a pastor, you should. Now, you are human. You don't get it right all the time in that instance. Don't blame yourself. Don't shoot yourself. Don't kill yourself. But you know, you can press into knowing things and know it. And just know by the Holy Ghost. Know by the Holy Ghost. You know, the Lord said something to me. Probably haven't said this before. He said you shifted your focus on revelation gifts more to the body of Christ. And you didn't focus as much on the local church. Then He corrected me. But I was saying I knew so many things happening around the church world, whether it is here or Africa, I knew. He said, no, put some focus on the local church too. And I've been doing that. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, there are things, how can I say that? Well, I just said I will be doing it. You know, so there's such a thing about just knowing those things supernaturally. And knowing those things. And maturing in them. So, He gives us such insights so that we can prevent some actions or do some actions. Now listen. You learning something? Alright. Watch this. Look at Luke 2. Simeon and Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, how did they know that was the Christ? The word of knowledge. When they brought Jesus to the temple, they knew that was... How? They didn't write Christ on his head, no. They just knew. That's the man. I remember in one meeting, I was ministering for a friend at the Rock Foundation, University of Lagos. It was 2001. It was December. Now, not Brother Higgins. It was not a Saturday. I don't know what day it was. Brother Higgins would say it was 4 o'clock. I remember very well it was a Tuesday. That's Kenneth Higgins and Brother Tokes, not me. So I was ministering and a guy just came forward. I laid hands on him. I called my friend who was the pastor. I said, "Man of God, that's the next pastor." "Ah." He said, "That's the next pastor." He said, "But I said he's the next pastor. That's what God just showed me." He said, "That's the next pastor." And I said, "I'll confirm something for him." So I mentioned the guy's elder brother. I mentioned what he was doing, the church he was pastoring. He said, "So I'm confirming that what I said. I just have to give you more facts about the guy." He said, "Yes." Eventually, pastor, he was probably the longest serving pastor of that ministry. He's a pastor in Lagos now. Probably some of you know him. He said, "That's the next pastor." He just came out for maybe to get healed or something. I said, "That's the next pastor." And he was not on the pastoral team. He said, "Yeah, I need to go back to this guy." Praise God. So there are instances like that. You just know by the Holy Ghost, this is this guy. This is this fellow. This is this fellow. This is this fellow. They knew that was the Christ. They just knew that was the Christ. They didn't write it on his head. They just knew. And, you know, that was, you know, quite an insight. Because this was all the prophecy of the prophets coming into a fact. And they saw it. So, what else? Look at John 1, Jesus. John 1. Jesus, when he said to them in verse 47, "A son Nathanael came and said unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." 48, Nathanael now said, How did you know me? He said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Hallelujah. He saw him. You know, he didn't see him physically. He saw him by the Holy Ghost. He saw him. You can see. And you can know. In John 4, look at that woman too at the well. A conversation ensued. Because Jesus changed the focus from the natural to the supernatural. So there was already room for the Holy Ghost. You know, if we stay well, on Wednesday, don't let me teach Wednesday's sermon here. You know, Wednesday, I gave you a description. Can you remember that description? Can you remember this? Staying on the edge. If you stay on the edge, sometimes it's just a little more fasting. Sometimes it's hearing the word more. Sometimes it's just putting your attention on it. Stay on that edge. Stay on that edge. Stay on that edge. Probably have to say this to some people. Oh, yeah. You have dishonored the gifts of the Spirit. Not you. I'm just tapping you. You have dishonored the gifts of the Spirit. You have played down on them. You have played down on them. You have thought the best way to know things is to search them on the internet. But somehow and subtly, your heart shifted from the supernatural to the natural. And since then, you have been relying on the senses. And there are yet more things you ought to know about the Holy Ghost. You know what? Switch now. And don't let the devil entrap you. Switch and find things out by the Holy Ghost. You will know things by the Holy Ghost. You will. You should. Glory to God. So he engaged that woman, you know? And then he said, "Go and call your husband." Now, do you know that she said, "I have no husband"? Naturally, that's like he shot the penalty to throw him, or even outside the stadium. He said, "I have no husband." Then he said, "You have rightly said, for you have had 5 husbands, and the man that you are with is not your husband." Now, look at the progression. He gave her an instruction. She said no. Then he probed further. Sometimes we back out. Now, I'm not speaking for the Lord Jesus, I cannot. But let me imagine that happening to me. Sometimes I'll just say, I've seen a word of knowledge, like I just told someone, I said, I just saw comfort around your around you. She said, that is the English meaning of my Igbo name. You know, if I just said something else, then I said, no. But at times, revelation gives function by interrogation. Oh, what about your boss at work? You say, well, I'm the boss. You know, except you made it up, which you shouldn't. You say, well, is there something about your work you want to tell me? You see, it's a practice. So you don't give up. It's like tongue interpretation. It's a practice. You give yourself into it. And there are some people like that. They just some people have forgotten. Some people just don't want to listen to you. That's just the truth. So he said to her, go and call your husband. So I have no husband. So you have rightly said. And when he was done with what he said, which is a narrative, because the details were not there, she said, he has told me all I ever did. That means all she ever did was marry. I know Jesus was so interesting by saying you have had 5 husbands. That would destroy many religious minds. To know he wasn't mistaken, he said, the man you are with is not your husband. That means she married 5 times. And Jesus acknowledged all the 5. Now, men and brethren, men of Judea and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth, you know what I have not said. And you know what I have said. Aha. But you know, the point was, it was by an interrogation. And he found out. So, revelation gifts can come by questions. Can come by probing further. Oftentimes, you know, you can point to someone and then you talk about person having a sickness. Person is not me. So what about someone close to you? You know, really, it's by you staying in the spirit. Don't get discouraged in the natural. I often tell medical practitioners, those who are into medicine. Was it in this service I gave a story about my mom? Was it this series? Was earlier on. Okay, my mom, she retired a nurse. I mean, high ranking. She worked in a particular theater, trauma theater. She said that they were all Christians. Different churches, but they spoke in tongues. And they believed in the power of God. And they made a commitment that nobody would die in their theater. Till she retired, not a single person died there. She told me when they said it. In my mind, I felt, is that not too much? Hospital. One of the traits of an hospital is that people die. That's why they have mortuary. You know, that's my all-renewed mind playing a game on me. I said it, but I didn't tell her. I just said, it's good to believe. You know, she told me that not a single person died. That there was one that was close to it. They prayed. The person came back to life. I always tell medical practitioners, there is a way you can doubt the healing power. Because you were trained to know problems and unsolvable ones. In fact, one of the skills of some doctors is to tell you how something cannot be treated. It's part of their training. How to manage you to die. But I've seen doctors who decided to walk in the power of God. A woman by the name of Lillian B. Yeomans. I'll talk about this next week. Lillian B. Yeomans was a medical doctor. And apart from treating you medically, she would lay hands on you. It is said she had a 100% record. 100% record. 100% record. Brother Hagin used to tell her story a lot. 100% record. You know you can. I know a lot of doctor friends. They just talk about healing. They say, is the person healed? They say, is getting better. They just use those medical terms because they are wired not to see God's power. Say, I wire myself to believe in the power of God. The power of God forever. Say, power of God forever. Healing power forever. Hallelujah. The same way. Don't be a Google Christian. Be a Holy Ghost Christian. Be a Holy Ghost Christian. Be a Holy Ghost Christian. Hallelujah. I mean, I said this on Wednesday. There was a time among my friends who would just tell ourselves, if something gets lost, that we'll just pray about it. We'll say, God, where is it? And you won't just want to use the natural. You just want to pray in the Holy Ghost and you get it. Those extremes are good. I was telling Brother Tokes on Thursday, how I said, he said, those extremes are good. He said, those extremes are the things that made us. Be an extremist with the power of God. Be an extremist. Be somebody that believes in the power of God. That's why, you see, what I tell people, when it comes to the power of God, see, and sickness and disease, look, you can tarry there till you are healed. You can tarry there till you are healed. And damn sickness and disease. Damn the doctor's report. I say, look, the power of God is forever. I will be healed. You can be. We'll talk about this next week. So, the thing is, revelation gifts. Revelation gifts are informative. They give you facts. Eventually, that woman received the gospel. So, edification is the end point. It's also very useful in ministering to the sick. In Mark 5, Jesus said, who touched me? For he perceived that virtue had left his body. That means that there are times like that, in laying hands on people, you will know that somebody just got healed. Sometimes you will physically feel it. Sometimes you will just know it in your spirit that someone just got healed. You just know it. You just know it. You just know it. Which meeting? Can you remember what Holy Ghost treat we had? That somebody who was healed was sleeping. I think it was one in Ososa. That this guy, this Samson, that Samson, that he has slept off. I said, someone got healed. Nobody in the meeting said they got healed. I said, wake that guy up. I was so sure. They woke him up. He said, is this place? He's not there. I said, look at this guy. Can you remember that meeting? He slept off. I said, no. He said, there's nobody. Everybody check it. There's no one of us. I said, I were not so many. I said, the person is here. Oh, wake him up. They woke him up. He said, it's himself. He checked. He said he's healed in his sleep. So really, revelation gifts give you that kind of information. You get to know. You know, you get to know sickness and disease. Sometimes it's almost like you felt healed, but you didn't fall healed, just a sensation. You feel like a headache. There's nothing in your head though. You sensed it. You sensed it. There was someone I once ministered to in 1990, Miracle Extraordinary. He had a headache for 10 years. That was astonishing. Said the thing was just, after a while, they said it was an inoperable brain tumor. That the thing would always be there. That he would become vegetable. He got healed. He got healed. Had that, I just sensed it was a sharp pain. Not physically. I said my head was aching and it wasn't aching. I said there's someone here. And I gave the word of knowledge. People came out. I said, no. This one is not just headache. You know. So he came. Eventually came from the back. He now said that the thing is that he uses a reliever. So he used that reliever every day. But glory to God, he got healed. He's still alive and doing fine. So you just know. Sometimes as if your back is spinning. It's not your back that is spinning. You sense something in your spirit. Oftentimes, an overwhelming revelation will produce a sensation in the natural. There are sometimes God doesn't want you to do something. It's like he now physically touches your body not to do it. It's like an overwhelming sensation. That's why for me, when I want to do something, and suddenly I forget, or somehow I don't get to do it. You know, the first thing I think about is, I pray, and I follow God's leading. Maybe God just arranged it that I shouldn't do it. I don't start with, it's a mistake, oh, there's trouble. No. You are a man of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You are a man of the Spirit. You are a person of the Holy Ghost. You are a person of the Holy Ghost. So, the word of knowledge can, you know, let you know about sickness, disease, and so on and so forth. There was a fellow like that. I just sensed that I was feeling a pain. It's not in my... See, when it is, I'm feeling the pain. There's no pain in your body, you know. It's a revelation. She said, someone is due for an operation. And the guy came out, he said he had hernia. No, he said his brother had hernia. Bola, whose brother was in Abadina. So I said, yeah. I said, really? He's healed. He got home. The brother still felt the pain. He now didn't tell me anything. He just said, well, that you are healed. The boy just said, and that was it. They now took him to the surgery room, the surgical theater. And they got there. They had started to want to open the boy up. They now discovered that the thing wasn't there again. They now felt they made a mistake. No, he was healed. It's not a mistake. He was healed. And there are instances like that. I just felt it. Sometimes you feel like it's on your body. It's not on your body. It's actually in your spirit. Brother Hagin used to say, like, it's the way Jesus bore our sins. You literally bear those things and then feel it. It's like you identify with the person. Sometimes the word of knowledge works that way. Amen. Are you learning something? Okay. I'm giving you some technical details. Don't worry, in the next series, I'll give you more. Now, amen. Are you still there? So, in the word of knowledge, you have information about men, places, names. Sometimes it's detailed. Sometimes it's summarized. Look at the seven letters of the churches. That was a word of knowledge. And then a word of wisdom. But they are not detailed all the time. Sometimes it's summarized. I called up a guy one time. I said, that was even December. I said, you are planning to hold a meeting. And I planned to do so. And you will know in your heart, God doesn't want you to. He said, sir, we're just about to roll out the flyer on Monday. Say, I'm not going to do it anymore. You know? I didn't even tell him the whole detail of what it was. There's sometimes it's summary. You just summarize it. And that's all to it. You just summarize it. So, sometimes it's summarized. Sometimes it's very detailed. Sometimes you just speak generally. And sometimes like the Gehazi Elisha. I don't like that one. I prefer the one that is not like that. Because the guy became a leper. You know? And there are sometimes, God wants you to tell things to people that are not too good. I've had the time to say that to people that were not too good. But I say it. I'm not too good. I said, the Lord said to tell you this. There was a brother like that. God told me to tell him. And I saw it in a vision. I said, don't get into a relationship now. Don't. That God wants you to wait a while. He said, yes, sir. Ah, no problem, sir. I said, well, he told me to add this to it in case you don't listen. Now, he told me what the Lord wanted him to do to organize some meetings. So I gave him this revelation 3 days before that meeting. See, the Lord tells to tell you that if you don't listen, that will be the last meeting you're going to organize. So that's it. You know? And I just walked away. A day after I organized that, I preached in that meeting. He got into a relationship. He tried to explain to me. I said, remember what I told you. He didn't organize anyone since then. This was 20 years ago. Some are not too good. Praise God. They are not too good. So there are times like that. It's like a warning. So it's not every word of knowledge or word of wisdom that's glory, glory. Some, you'll be sober. You will be very sober. Hallelujah. Let me just add this. You know, pastors, hear what I'm about to say. You know, it's good after meetings, we have all these zonal meetings. But there's also a sense, when we finish some of those Holy Ghost meetings, savor it in your meetings. Don't quickly wind up in, okay, so, where are your pledges? So, we can still save us some and stay a little bit more on that tangent. Because many people really don't know how to manage the natural and the supernatural. They just think that's for church. And they'll switch back into the flesh. And it's as though they didn't attend the meeting at all. So, you can put some wisdom in how you handle the natural after there is a supernatural. Of course, Jesus went after a miracle. He didn't stay in the clouds. Okay? But the point is, allow people to savor. For example, if you're having your zonal meeting after that, you can still talk about the meeting. Yeah, and just pray some. Even after. You know, because people can be very careless. Most Christians listen more to the secular than to the word. Most Christians are used more to the natural. Sadly so. So if you don't put that emphasis for them, they won't be able to do it. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? So think about that. That's for the pastors, an instruction as well. So Revelation gives could point out to places, things, people. Some could not be exactly exciting. You know? Acts 5. Look at how Peter said, "Did you give everything you had?" That's a question. Ananias said, yes, sir, everything. So it can come by question. Did you do what I told you to do? I'm sure, like I said earlier, they must have seen him in the natural that he gets things wrong. But who knows when he will be caught in the spirit? You might be in trouble. Because some revelation gifts are judgmental. Now, I've not told you that God killed Ananias and Sapphira. No. But some are judgmental. You know, Jesus told Peter, he said, "Well, you deny me 3 times. That's judgment. Why? He wasn't listening. And sometimes they are irreversible. I prayed for people and God showed me, don't bother. There's nothing you can do. In fact, there was one God told me, there's nothing I can do, so there's nothing you can do. I was stunned. They're judgmental. There's nothing I can do, there's nothing you can do. He said, the fellow has done something that I cannot reverse. I was shaking. He said, it's not something I can reverse. To some of us, we can think because we learned the grace of God, we can get away with things. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. If people still go to hell, it means there are things God cannot change when you decide to do them. So revelation gifts can warn us. They can warn us. And like I said, watch the way your pastor ministers. If you know your pastor may not exactly come out, but he will say what he's going to say, then you'll be smart. If many of us can listen well to how the Holy Ghost flows in the church, who will reduce the kind of errors and mistakes that we make. Let me close from here. Amen. So revelation gives 1 Corinthians 14:26. Okay, Acts 27, for example, Paul knew there was going to be a shipwreck and, you know, all will be lost for their lives. An angel appeared. Sometimes an angel can appear to you in a dream, sometimes in a vision. Sometimes you just see someone tell you something in a vision. I remember one day, somebody had just told me something terrible. You know, and I heard about ministers. So as I was walking home, I just entered the gate and the Lord stopped me. He said, "Stop." And I turned to the right and I saw an angel. You know, who just spoke to me. I said, "Okay." About what I heard. And didn't say much. Just said something, just 2 statements about what I just heard. Because I was getting really discouraged. So I got home and I sat down. Then I had a vision itself. And he appeared to me himself and told me things that I don't forget. In the midst of any trial and test today, I remember that vision about 25 years ago. I just remember it. That, well, Lord, you appeared to me and you told me this. So I'm confident. You know, I'm bold. And I keep walking in your plan and purpose. So there are things that he will come to just tell you what will happen and what you should do. That can also happen in a meeting. In 1 Corinthians 14:26, Paul says, when you come together, and every one of you, you say you have a doctrine, you have a tongue, you have a revelation. Say we have a revelation. We have revelations in this place. Lives are touched. Things are seen. things are said and things are received. You know, after he said that, he said, if any will speak, which means that the first point of call, if there's an access revelation, the first will be utterances. As tongues and interpretation are given, you know, facts are revealed, things are known, and things are said. I want you this afternoon to step into your own. Be bold. If in the meetings we are going to have shortly, in the next few meetings, just have something on your heart, say it. I found out that the way to be bold is to be bold. Say it. Say it. Just say it. Just stay there and say it. And say it. You know, for me, I taught somewhere on Friday. Just, and I said to them, I said, let's just play with the Holy Ghost some. And I ministered the word to several people there. Someone was so shocked. I said, well, a guy now asked me, he said, sir, did you just say it? I said, that's how I've been functioning all my life. Of course I prayed. Of course I was in the Holy Ghost. But I learned to say. I learned to say that the gifts of the Spirit are working through me. I learned to say that I will know things and I will see things by the Holy Ghost. I learned to say it. I've learned to say it. I'll say it. Then I'll act upon it. Because saying it and not acting upon it is like starting a car and not moving it. I've said it. Then I'll act upon it. I'll say that God will show me things He wants people to know. God will show me things about people so they will hear what I'm about to say. You know, I'll just say it. I'll just say it. And as I say, things will come to pass. Things will come to pass. Let me say this also for those in leadership. See, you can get to a point in leadership and you will stop receiving from revelation gifts. It's a dangerous trend. People have missed it because they were not listening. They've missed it. There was someone I once walked up to and told him about his health. I said, God told me to tell you something about your weight. Interesting. About your weight. That he told me to tell you so and so and so and so. The guy said, hey. He went for a checkup. He said nothing happened. He said he was well. I said, God told me to tell you something. He went again the next week. He was in a serious case of diabetes. Very serious. You know? Sometimes God will show you things like that. God can tell someone, watch how you drive. You drive too fast. You're careless. You're careless. Now, it's not to get the person to be afraid. It's, you know, be more cautious, you know. And how you know that you have ministered well? Say, well, don't worry, angels of God are all around you. And God's hand is upon you. You understand? Just ensure that you don't do things to the extreme. Praise God. Hallelujah. In this house this afternoon, the gifts of revelation are flowing and functioning in us. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory.